The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Cyrus Scofield, a famous early American theologian best known for his annotated Scofield Reference Bible. I don't know how many of you ever had one or have one. It was pretty good with some of the notes. It wasn't always right on all things in it. But anyway, he wrote, and I do quote, "The New Testament scriptures contain a doctrine of salvation of the lost and a doctrine of rewards for the faithful service of the saved. And it is of great importance to the right understanding of the word that the student should clearly understand or clearly make the distinction between these." End quote. Brethren, there has been a lot of confusion about this topic of salvation through works versus salvation through grace. And I want us to understand from the very beginning, while our everlasting salvation is a complete gift to us by the unmerited and unearned grace of God, reward is certainly important to our futures. Now, I think you know that most of the sermons that I give would be considered as Christian living. This one is a straight doctrinal sermon. So let me begin by asking, is it reward through works, or is it salvation through grace? And do we know the answer to the question? I have entitled this sermon, Works, Reward, Salvation, and Grace. And of course, there's commas after all of the words. Works, Reward, Salvation, and Grace. Now, with that in mind, I'd like for us to consider some questions to help us examine this particular doctrinal topic. And I do think that for most of us, these will be elementary questions, and for most of us, we will be able to give the correct answer. However, having made that statement, we may not know how or why we come to the answer. We may know it because we've heard it. We've been in a church a long period of time. We've heard the answer. We know that it's this as opposed to this, and would be right. But do you know why the answer that is correct is the correct answer? So first of all, let me state, there are some people, and I'm not necessarily talking about in the church, we're still looking at this broad category of this topic. There are some people who believe that salvation is the reward of righteousness. Is that true? Why or why not? Can salvation be earned in any way? Is salvation a reward in any way? Is salvation only a matter of faith? Is salvation a matter of grace? At this time, I'd like for us to look at a few of the many, because there are many, and we're going to see the few of the many Old Testament scriptures where the word reward is used in regard to righteousness. These verses, I believe, firmly establish the idea of reward in the Bible. Psalm 18 in verse 20. "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me." Psalm 19 in verse 11. 19 verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Now, the them, keeping of them, is talking about the Ten Commandments, or the whole way of life of God, really. Psalm 58, verse 11. Psalm 58, verse 11. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judges in the earth. Proverbs 13 and verse 13. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. And those are a few of the many. Now I'd like us to consider a few of the Old Testament verses that discuss the reward of evildoers. The first one we want to look at is in Psalm 31 and verse 23. Psalm 31, verse 23. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Isaiah 3 and verse 11. Isaiah 3 and verse 11. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his sins, of his hands shall be given him. So, brethren, it seems also that both Paul and Peter agreed with the Old Testament verses that we just read, and that also evil was to be rewarded according to evil works. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14. 2 Timothy 4 verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. 2 Peter 2 and verse 13. 2 Peter 2 verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with us. So yes, even in the New Testament, it discusses reward, and this is much to the disappointment of people who want to deny that God is a rewarder. Because if you teach is grace and grace only, they would have to state that he is not a rewarder, and we see that that is not true. In fact, let's go to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We know this verse, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, the him of course being God. For he that comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In fact, Jesus himself discussed reward many times in scriptures. We'll take a look at a few of these examples of illustrations of Jesus Christ. The first one is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Matthew 5 and verse 12. And I guess you probably have already figured out, in a doctrinal sermon, there's going to be a lot of verses. And that's a good thing, because we're backing it up right out of the Word of God. Matthew 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 46, dropping down to verse 46. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? These are the words of Jesus Christ in regard to reward. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Notice that God intends to provide reward. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He didn't say don't do alms. He said don't do them to be seen of men. There may be times whenever somebody else actually sees you doing it, but you didn't do it for that purpose as these people were, and that's the point that Jesus is making. Matthew 6 and verse 4. Matthew 6 and verse 4. That your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. And also, brethren, we notice that God rewards, and perhaps from these looking at these verses, we can see that it is even is here in the here and now. Verse 5. For when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now, he doesn't say anything about that there may be times whenever we do pray publicly. That's not the topic either. It's this thing of to be seen by men. This is the topic of Jesus himself referring to places of reward. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, it's not even saying that if you're fasting, that others might be able to tell that you're fasting because of your countenance. But they do it for that purpose. Verse 18. That they appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Matthew 10. These are still the words of Jesus, showing that he talks about reward in the Bible. Matthew 10, verse 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, which I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Mark 9, verse 41. Mark 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Brother, there can be no mistake about it. Jesus believed and Jesus taught that God provides rewards. Also notice that in some verses, rewards could be thought of as for this life. And also notice there is reward in the future, in eternity. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory, in the glory of his Father, with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Luke 6, verse 23. Luke 6, 23. Rejoice you in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did your fathers unto the prophets. Verse 35. But love you your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, for your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So we can see that the scriptures show that there is reward in the Bible, and is reward for things now as well as in eternity future. We also can see that apparently, at least in the Bible, reward is tied to doing, to labor, to words, to work, or to effort. Notice the work effort attached to reward in these next passages here. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 14. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abide not in my power in the gospel. A couple of others. Colossians 2 and verse 18. Colossians 2 verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Colossians 3 and verse 24, Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. 1 Timothy 5 verse 18, 1 Timothy 5 verse 18, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So according to many, many Bible verses, there is something God calls reward. It's in the Bible. He talks about it. Jesus addressed it. We even can see that both Paul and John wrote of reward. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. 2 John 1 and verse 8. 2 John 1 and verse 8. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought or worked, but that you receive a full reward. The Bible clearly says that Jesus is coming and that he will bring reward with him. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his works shall be. Revelation 11 and verse 18. Revelation 11 and verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should give reward unto your servants the prophet, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. So, if the Bible does speak of reward, and it most absolutely does, then what happens to salvation by grace? Because remember, this is a doctrinal thing. This is what we're looking at, you know. Well, go with me to Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 4. Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So we ask, does this verse contradict all the verses that we just read, just examined? Well, let's stop for a moment and let's kind of examine this verse, Romans 4, verse 4. Just what does this verse say? Does it say anything about reward being done away with? Brother, just as surely as there are many verses that prove there is reward, and we've done that, that's true, that is what the Bible says, many verses. There are also many, many verses that prove that salvation is by the grace of God. Salvation is not a reward. It is a gift. Salvation is not something that can be earned by labor, by effort, or works. Acts 15, verse 11. Acts 15, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world was. So, what is the answer to this question that we ask? There is no contradiction. There is no contradiction. God provides salvation through Jesus Christ as a free gift through faith. And he even supplies the faith as a gift. And yet, there is also available reward. This is why this subject is so confusing to so many people, and they think it's an either or. The topic has to be an either or. We could go back and we could re-examine each verse and we could realize that there is a serious reward that God will hand out to the workers of evil. We've read some of those verses. God is not going to be mocked. That's just not going to happen. Then naturally speaking, or humanly speaking, we could say, people reap what they sow. Sowing evil only will result in a crop of dreadful, terrible things. Yet God is merciful to those who turn to him, choose to live God's way of life. So, brethren, please remember, the reason Jesus had to shed his life blood was for the payment for the sins of the entire world. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it is in God's time, those who will choose to come to God his way can come to God at his, God's, invitation. It's a calling. It is a gift. No one can just get up one morning and say, oh, I think I'm going to start living and become a son of God. Doesn't happen that way. Not until there has been this calling. And that's another topic altogether, but that fits in there. When people choose to do that, they can receive God's free gift of salvation. Then they will also become eligible for reward based on what they have sown. Now, if we had a chalkboard, this would charts and graphs and do all of that, I think it'd probably be much simpler. But like I said, I think most of us know the answers to this, and so a lot of us, this is just simply a rehearsal. But it's not for everyone, because not everybody who even attends the church really knows this. They may be able to give the answer, but they don't know the how and the why they come to the right answer. That's what I'm saying. This is kind of what we're trying to do. Also, I want us to understand, according to Jesus' parables, there are three things that apparently affect reward. And those three things are, number one, and I don't mean have to be this order, but number one is our individual strengths. Those are the things that we are born with. In other words, that's what God gives to us to work with. The second one is how much time we have to work. And then the third one is how much effort we put into the work. I've never done this, but maybe in some future sermon we could actually expand on these points in his parables. And I think it'd probably be a really good study to do that. I have done it. I've just never presented it as a sermon or whatever, but it might want to do that. So, even though salvation is a gift of God, for a person to be able to receive a positive reward in eternity, we also need to understand that person must already have salvation. Let me repeat that. Even though salvation is a gift of God, and it is, for a person to be able to receive a positive reward in eternity, that person must already have salvation. God wants profit from his investment. Go with me to Luke 17 and verse 10. Luke 17 and verse 10. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded to you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Matthew 20 and verse 12. Matthew 20 and verse 12. Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. So, I think that we can see that salvation is available to people who have lived in God's way of life. They've chosen, they were called, they've been faithful, they've lived this holy way of life to the best of the human abilities and all that they have lived in God's way of life. And also, we can see that there may be those who have been called near the end of their day. Jesus actually gives this parable that says this very thing. And one of those verses I just read. So it's in, let's go back and let's read Matthew 20 and read this parable. Verse 1, Matthew 20 and verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Don't get hung up on the fact that the word is a penny a day. That's really not the point of this. They agreed upon a sum. They agreed upon a penny a day. Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hours and did likewise. And about the 11th hour. Now, the reason he's using the 11 hours is because there was 12 hours considered as the time for labor in the day. He went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why do you stand here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. And verse 8. And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, call the laborers and give to them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first. Now, I don't know how much you've really studied on this, but this is a life lesson. Seminars could be taught on this, and probably are, but they could be, because this is an incredible teaching of so much information. And when they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and that they likewise receive every man a penny. Now, the American attitude is, that's not fair. Actually, it is. If you really understand. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which abhor the burden and the heat of the day. And he said unto them, friend, I do you no wrong. And that's so contrary to the American value. I do you no wrong. Did not you agree with me for a penny? Take that is yours, and go your way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is your eye evil because I am good? Wow. Like I said, we could spend seminars on this. I want to look at another passage that will verify what we've just seen. Let's go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 28. Luke 18, 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. And he, Jesus, said unto them, verily I say unto, there is no man that has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children or for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. When we really start looking at this, examining this a little closer, we can see a little bit clearer of this over in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with Christ. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. He's just talking about different kinds of building materials. This is an analogy. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It's going to be tested over a period of time. For if any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, through his testing. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or evil. Psalm 103 and verse 10. Psalm 103 and verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. This verse shows that we do not have to die in our sins. There is hope. Jesus Christ obviously is our hope. And he also is what gives us this confident assurance that we know that we're going to reap what we sow. And we are the ones who decide to act out whether it's going to be good or evil. And as we just read, thankfully, God does not reward us according to our iniquities. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but eternal life is the gift of God. And so, no, brethren, it is only those who refuse to embrace and those who refuse to live God's way of life that have to die for their iniquities. So, yes, one of the big areas of confusion today deals with reward for works versus salvation through grace. And the point is, both are true. They do not contradict each other. That's really the why that I titled this message, Works, Rewards, Salvation, and Grace. You have to tie them all together in some way to really be able to get it. Now, have I talked about everything of all of these that need to be done so that we get the whole full-blown picture? No. This is an overview of this doctrine, but it is an overview, and it is there. And what I'm hoping is this is helping us cement this foundational doctrine in our thinking and maybe cleared up some of the questions that some of us may have had. And I don't know. Maybe it's only caused some of us more confusion. Because we know the answer, but we don't even know why the answer is the answer. And that's another thing. And then some of us may even be quite surprised that the subject of reward is so prominent in the Scriptures. Clearly, brethren, just from this overview, God wants us to get this point. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Happy Sabbath. Love you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.